Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
November the 30th recording issue. We got a couple previous weeks' issues here to review.
I'm just going to go with, I know everybody right now knows it's 2018, but for maybe somebody who comes in later, 2018.
Yes, I should have mentioned that it is 2018. So we skipped a week because of the holidays, and we are back. So we're doing a little bit of a revamp of our reviews episodes so that we only deliver you, the loyal fan and listener, only the best content coming at you from all of us at the same time. We got a lot of exciting videos planned, so keep an eye out for those on our Facebook page, Capes and Scowls West. So with this new format, we're only going to be reviewing maybe three or four issues per review episode, because we realized that we were being a bit boring the other way, and we don't want to be boring, because this is entertainment about entertainment. So with that being said, let's jump right into it.
All
right.
First
up, we have...
I'm gonna lead us on Middle West Number One. It's written by Scotty Young with art by Jorge Corona. So this is, to me, this was Scotty Young jumping into the next phase of his career. I think that he's a fantastic illustrator. I think he was a great writer. This is, to me, was incredible. This was one of the best singular comic book debuts. In a long time. I think it was a really fantastic, surrealistic piece. I think there's a lot of heart in this issue and a lot of sadness. The relationship of Abel and his dad is fucked up, and it was definitely a great, it was a great point of entry because we feel for Abel. I think it does exactly what it needs to do. For me, the art was stellar, but I will not monopolize the conversation. What did you guys think?
Honestly, this was, I agree with you 100%. This was so good. This was way more, because you kind of shuffled it into my hand the other day when I was in the store. And I was like, okay, Nat, and Scotty Young writing, I was like, all right, Scotty, because I like his stuff. But this, aside from the explicit sci-fi elements to it, I feel like this is magical realism that I haven't read outside of something... I can only put this, reading this, I have to put Scotty Young up there with, Gabriel Garcia Marquez and, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting, Haruki Murakami and, all these, literary giants that write in the same style. Artistically amazing, but, world building
really
and stylistically.
I like how it looks and everything, but part of me, just the way it is because I have a weird head, I kind of want to see those, Scotty Young's little chibi drawings for this entire comic, too.
I thought, artistically, Jorge Corona is almost, of the school of Scotty Young. There's a lot of the proportions of characters don't necessarily have to match each other. There's a very, cartoon element to it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The looseness of the ink lines and that there's a lot of scratchiness, yet everything feels complete and, put together. What was your overall thoughts then, Kat?
I don't know what I read. I'm like, this is what Talking Fox. Okay, so this is set out of Not Norms. All right, his dad's an asshole. All right, so it's sad. Well, where am I? What is this?
I've used the term surrealism several times in discussing this book with people because they don't answer a lot. Of a sudden, he's talking to the fox, and it's normal.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. The other question I had is, what the hell is the pink liquid that's above all of the buildings and stuff?
I think it's on the front page, too.
Yeah.
I think from what I was getting from it, even though they literally don't address it at all, is that it's some sort of magic, essentially. That it's, it's going to be, a power source, but it's also basically magic.
Well, yeah, because you see it on everything.
So, it's mana, essentially?
Yeah, it's liquid. Yeah. At least that's what I was assuming.
I mean, the other portion of it, too, is, at the very end, it's, weird shit happens, and he's like, wow, it's scary, but not scary in the fact of what?
Right.
It was just scary of in,
Yeah, like there's...
I don't know how to explain normal scary. That sounds really...
Well, and it's so odd because it almost feels like this could fall in the Wizard of Oz camp where we're looking at, like...
That was what I thought of it.
Manifestations of characters in the other world.
That's what I thought of it just at the very end because... What was it that
made me
think
Well, he turns into the, like, weird tornado monster, right?
Well, yeah, he does. And then on top... It's, like, the last
Oh, yeah, he's, it's the first and end where he's talking about the wind is violent here. I hate it. Sometimes I feel like it hates me.
Yeah.
And it literally, the wind becomes... Or his dad becomes this wind monster. Also gorgeously rendered. Let's not, like, not discuss that because it is a beautiful, beautiful piece of art seeing his father. And then the fact that when he, like, his father touches... through his chest as the wind, and it creates some sort of, like, awakening, maybe?
Like a glowing...
The glowing heart symbol. I'm wondering if maybe there's going to be an element, because wizards are talked about in the afterword, if maybe this is, like, awakening his power? Like, maybe he's going to have some sort of a connection to this magic, like you said, like the pink stuff might be. Maybe he's a special being within this world.
I almost hope that he doesn't. Just for the sake of, like, the genre, like, of magical realism, like, it doesn't involve, like, express magic. Like, that's the genre. Think of, like, Spirited Away and stuff like that. That's a great example of that. And just the fact that, you have a talking fox, like, in there right away, and it's totally normal. And not only is the wind regular wind, that's... And part of it, you know, that blows all of his papers away. But then his dad becomes wind, and that's just part of the world. And, like, it's so seamlessly put together that you don't really question it. You understand, obviously, that it's not real, but you don't question it. It all fits together.
Right. Like, Cal, what were you thinking?
I don't know. For some reason, all I really thought about when I was reading it, like, there was a certain point, I don't remember when it was in the comic, but it was a certain point in the comic where I was like, this just makes me think of Wizard of Oz, and I don't know why. And whether it's maybe just the big tornado thing or what, but I don't know, like, the fox seems like it would be Toto if Toto was in 2018.
I think it's that there's multiple elements. I think it's the setting, the fact that it's in the Midwest. It's, there's those magical elements that just are not discussed. There is the tornado, so it's like, there's enough in there. And there's that, the take of that idea of a one-to-one, the characters in your real life being something in a real fantasy world or a fantasy world, because that's also not explicit in Wizard of Oz, whether or not all of it happens. I also want to shout out the fact that this has more extra content than a lot of trade paperbacks I read. And I was really happy to see the sketches and the original sketch that Scotty Young had done. That was kind of the genesis of the story, because I follow Scotty Young for a long time. And seeing that image again made me really happy. It was a big smile across my face.
And then, of course, for me, the afterwards. I always love afterwards. And, yeah, what does a wizard look like?
Yeah.
So he says in the afterword that he based this concept off of a little sketch he does, and he includes it. And it's just a little boy talking to a farmer, and the boy says, "You don't look like a wizard." And the farmer says, "Well, what does a wizard look like?" It's so good.
And it's a great question and a great jumping off point for a fantastic debut. I hope this it continues to live up to that, right?
And I absolutely agree with you, Nat, that this does feel like Scotty Young's maturation.
Yeah.
I should say, as a writer. I hate to use that word because he's an extremely good writer.
Yeah.
But this does feel like a growing up, and it's, per se.
It's definitely thematically, it's different. It's definitely dealing with a deep cut in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. All
right, Patrick.
Well, with that, I guess we should get into... This is Mr. Miracle, number 12, written by Tom King with art by Mitch Gerrards. So this is the conclusion of the Tour de Force.
Thanks, Kat.
This is the conclusion of the series that has just been a Tour de Force for these last 12 months. Oh my goodness. So I thought this was an amazing ending. I thought it wrapped everything up super nicely.
And then me and Dad are going to stomp around and say, no.
I won't say neatly. I'll say it wrapped everything up very nicely, and everything came together, and I was very satisfied. I wasn't really left with too many questions But we're different people and we have different opinions.
So this wasn't story ruining the same way that Nightwing New Order's last issue was.
However, Jesus.
However, I'm having a problem distancing myself from letting the story just be what it is, because I really wanted a definitive ending, and I don't feel like we got that. I feel like we got a little bit too much ambiguity, and I like ambiguity in the story because it does give us, it lets you, the reader, know that the reader is important. This was a little too much for me. Like, I just didn't feel like I got resolution. I don't know if he's dead. I don't know if we're to believe he's in limbo. I wanted an answer that would have made this a nice 12 issue wrapped up in a bow. I can recommend this to anybody because it has a beginning and an end. But
well, the
I don't
other portion of this
like
is the very
did.
End of it, too. It says, this will be the end of Mr. Miracle, but look for its successor. So I'm like, so does that, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to quote myself because I wrote it down this way. And I said, cool, the ending's finally coming. Hopefully I get all my questions answered after I read it. God damn it. I got, like, no answers. What is this damn book?
Yeah. And I'm interested in how this discussion pans out, because we are different people. And Patrick, I would say, is the most intelligent of the three of us and has a bigger idea of what
we may have
read. I
feel like literary-wise, yeah, you can yeah. chomp all of our asses.
And that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Everybody's okay
yeah.
with
that. So what were we missing? I guess that's what I'll ask.
So the big question that I started asking people after I read this issue is death the absence of life? And I'll just sit on that for a minute. Maybe that's a little too broad, but... So
no, I get what you're saying.
From what I got from this was that this is Tom King's representation of what an afterlife would look like. So assuming that we don't just die and that's the end of it, this is both heaven and hell simultaneously, because heaven is the perfect life, right? And he has that perfect life too, but there's so much conflict at the same time. But also, where would a perfect life be without conflict? Because he secretly likes the conflict. The war, where would he be without the war? He can't just be a family man, and he can't just be a general of the war. So this is,
philosophical question.
Even though you don't want to admit it, this is a perfect life. And it's inescapable for him. That's how it ends, is he says, I can escape anytime I want. And Big Barda, right before she glitches out with him, says, what does she say? Sorry, she asks, can you? And also, if we notice something, all the characters in this glitch out before him, except at the very end when he kisses her, he glitches with her. This is the first time in the issue that he's written out. All of his friends, his dad, I guess there is like a past version of him. Darkseid's there. So I think this is death. He killed himself, and he's still, quote, trying to escape. And I thought that was a very... Death is basically like the most golden cage imaginable.
So it doesn't bother you at all that the answer wasn't given to us, and that you're doing this through inference, that you're inferring that this is actually the death, that we're reading the afterlife, essentially the entire 11, I guess the 11 issues after the first one, we're literally reading his afterlife.
So you actually wanted him to explicitly Tom King to write in a narration bubble at the end, like, the end, BT dubs, he definitely was dead the whole time.
No, I wanted in a conversation with Barda to say, I'm sorry, but you're dead, Scott. This is all over.
But she does. He says...
She doesn't. This is you're inferring from dialogue that that's what was done. There's not an explicit moment, because I read that completely different from you. The way I read that is that can he, being the, does he want to move on with his life? That finality of, he says, I can always escape, and she says, can you? And I read that as, can you? Are you above yourself that you can actually escape from the responsibilities that you have?
And see, I meant that I feel like that's the part you're like that we swap on, because now you're taking it too metaphorically and I took that extremely literally. That he's still trying to escape death, that he started his escape routine in the first issue and he's still trying. There's definitely ambiguity about whether he will or will not after this, because he's still there, but
yeah,
I thought it was very, not very explicit, I thought it was perfect writing wise. I thought it was the absolute perfect amount of ambiguity.
Kat?
He said a philosophical question, and I have the mind of a damn squirrel, so I'm, like, still running down that path. And I'm like, God damn it, push out. eject. The biggest thing is like, with him being dead and not being dead, my biggest thing is his granny is the first one to show up, because she's like, it's all in your head. This is you running away from me. I want you to come back to me. So, and that's the other portion of it, too, is you have Granny, then you have,
Darkseid.
It wasn't Darkseid who came after him. It was somebody else. Oh, it was
the bug-looking guy.
Bug.
Bug.
Well, Forager, right? I think is
his character's name.
He comes in saying he's in hell. Then you have his, brother coming in saying that he's in heaven and that he's upset with him for being in heaven. He's like, I understand why you're doing it, but why are you running away? And then you see Darkseid. He doesn't say anything, which is not shocking. And then you have Highfather, who he somehow manages to punch in the face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so he has an interaction with somebody who's glitching out.
And he also said the anti-life matter equation did something to him. So
he also has his legs on Darkseid on the couch, true. Too.
Well, that's the other portion of it, too, is he dealt with that anti-life thing with Darkseid. So did he die when he was with Darkseid? And I'm just like, this is a table flip moment, because I'm like, why?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I like your take, Patrick. I do. It would have felt clear to me when I read it. Because I think, looking back and looking at the series as a whole that way, that's pretty fantastic. And it is going to be something that you can read on its own completely. I don't know, I guess I needed the closure that wasn't ambiguous. I needed to say, this is an end, and I'm done, and I'm
but
good.
It says, this is the end of this. Right. Here's the successor, and that's the where it trips me up the most.
And I have a strange feeling it's just going to be the next thing that Tom King and Mitch Gerrits do together. That's the
successor of this. Well, yeah, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, their next project.
Yeah.
So, and that was my thing, is it's just like, I kind of read this, and I'm standing and looking at it, and I'm like,
I'm kind of pissed at you right now. Because like, this was out of my just like my thought process, but your presentation of what that idea is makes me want to read all 12 again before the end of the year to see where this fits in the best ones, because this is
that's
like,
honestly probably going to be the best portion of it. Is
do you want to hear some other good philosophical questions?
Extensive notes in order to maybe fully understand, because.
Sure, let's fucking mind blow us one more time. What else do you have to say?
Just questions, really. No answers. Okay. So,
God damn it.
Does life trap us? Are we trapped by life? Are we trying to escape certain aspects of
this world? Now you have a cyclical question. What? And like, him killing himself is the escape from life, which is the trap.
And then finally, what is your perfect heaven? Honestly, what would your perfect afterlife look like?
I can't not think anything about except the American Dad now, thanks. When Steve goes to heaven.
No answers, only questions. And I'm kind of sad at both of you that you actually read this looking for the answers, and you aren't looking for the questions.
Because the whole fucking series!
The whole fucking series was questions! I was looking for the answers!
Because I wanted fucking answers, that's what it was. It wasn't because, I'm looking for goddamn answers!
Alright. I think it's time for us to move to the next title.
Before Nat and Kat tar and feather me over here.
Well, I'm standing over here and I'm like, you realize math and science brain. All I want is answers!
I wanted more pictures!
And I was like, ooh, words!
Alright.
Oh my goodness.
Kat,
I snapped my freaking $1,500 computer in half. Right.
What do we have as our final reviews?
God damn it. One moment. Zen moment.
Well,
okay, I'm fine.
Kat pulls herself back together.
Maybe. Alright, so we've got our final two issues, sort of. I'm sorry, that was very sarcastic. I'm still stuck. So we've got Wonder Woman, and guess what? The reign of G. Willow Wilson has begun.
Yeah. So what issue numbers are we talking about?
So we've got Wonder Woman 58 and 59. Thank goodness those two are the same in a lot of respects, because we have our writer is G. Willow Wilson, and then we've got artist Carrie Nord, and then Mick Gray, which I have to point out is Mick and then Gray. Because when I read it the first time, I thought Nat was just telling me his last name. Yeah. So just so everybody knows, I'll deviate that for you. It's like, yeah.
Nice. So, well, Kat, you're...
Yeah, you're
the best. That was like the rub across the face right now that you guys can't see.
It's just, I don't know, because the biggest thing is one of my favorite characters with Wonder Woman is always Ares. And when I read the first issue, I knew exactly where it was going to go because of, I'm like, it's Ares. There's no other way it can go besides the fact that, oh, I'm reborn for justice.
Yeah.
So we open up and basically we see Ares and Grail, who I don't know anything about. I haven't been keeping up with Wonder Woman straight up. I'm just going to admit it.
Grail, I believe, is the daughter of Darkseid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. He's saying the only way no one remembers anybody for war, the only way they remember them is for justice. So basically what he like yells, and then Grail kills him, and then like the whole prison there in just explodes, which I was like, all right, that's probably not good. And you know, after that I read, you know, you get through 58, and at the very end, this is a sideline into 59, he comes back and he's like the knight in shining armor, which I'm like, alright.
And he's back to help Wonder Woman save the day.
Yay.
In giant quotations. So
what about like initial reactions, I guess, to reading them? Just like, hate, meh?
I don't know. And that's the problem, because I noticed this, the one thing that just standing here and kind of talking about it, the fact that Ares is a knight in shining armor, and I'm doing this for justice, I wouldn't necessarily say, like, she's... I honestly think that she might be doing this on purpose, or I'm just drawing too much from it. She's basically asking the questions, are superheroes actually fighting justice, or are they just saving people? Which is two different things, and she's making that point.
I think that's a really good point, because that's what I was getting out of this so far, is not just are superheroes saving people, but is Wonder Woman saving people?
Well, she even asked herself that. Because
Ares, he comes back, and, you know, obviously he's a Greek... He's from Greek mythology. He has similar...
He was the god of war. Now I don't know what he is.
Armor to her and stuff. So she probably sees a lot of herself in him when he comes back and says, I'm fighting for justice.
Well, he's and then technically he also doesn't. A god.
She said... Because she comes in 58 and into the middle of this armed conflict, a civil war or something like that. And she says... I'm going in there for justice. And everyone says, you don't know what's going on right now. And she says, I'm going in to save people. So the fact that he's brazen as approaching the situation the same way that she is, just more explicitly, quote, bad.
He's hardlining it. So he, because his first thing, what he does is harms people. And people are like, why? She freaks out. She's like, why are you hurting these people? And he says, why? And he gets pissed at her, says, what do you mean? They're the problems. They are on the wrong side of justice. So the thing is I'm like, god damn it, another thinker. But basically it's the question of, is Wonder Woman actually, is she fighting for justice, or is she saving people? And that's two different answers. And a lot of the times, especially anymore, because the side of justice for anyone and anything is always gonna be different from your point of view, which stupid philosophical crap. Always and forever. I mean, it makes me think, but at the same time I'm like, oh god, so much thinking. But I think that's really what it comes down to, is this issue is about, is this justice or is this help?
And I think that's the exact question that G. Willow is forcing Wonder Woman to ask herself.
Oh yeah.
Which I think is something really interesting.
Oh, definitely. Nat's turn.
No.
So I wish I would have gotten all of that out of those two issues that you guys read, because that's beautiful writing and it sounds fantastic, but the art is so piss poor in issue 59 that it actually took me out of the comic book.
Really?
I have no idea what happened between these two issues that the same creative team fell flat on their face with the art on this book.
Wow.
For 58 and 59?
For 59. 58 seemed fine to me. I don't like Wonder Woman's proportions. I don't like the way she looks, but I can deal with that because I thought it had all the emotional currents. I thought it felt really well, really well put together. 59 is a mess. There are character faces that are absolutely horrendous. Wonder Woman's proportions and scale changes throughout the issue. There's just like it looks a mess. It's this AAA title with a fantastic writer who is clearly telling a very interesting and strong thematic story, and the art is fighting it.
Oh no!
And that is a very unfortunate thing. Is why is this the case? And once again, why are we using a male character as this storytelling focal point in the Wonder Woman story? The arc that I've loved so far over the course of the past year of Wonder Woman titles is when she teamed up with two other female characters and they went on an adventure together and they explored the different mythologies of the world. This did not land for me. The first issue did. I was excited. I was a little trepidatious, but 59's, I feel like it's a misstep, and I might reread it so that I can, with now this conversation, so I can take in that story element to it. I'm having a lot of problems with this art. I just can't deal. Wonder Woman, anytime she's cheesecakey or super thin and it isn't an actress portraying her, because those are limitations of a human physical body.
Yeah, you have to get like women.
This panel right here, I think it's like page 2 or 3 in the book, and it's Wonder Woman looking up at Ares. Fucking stop. Wonder Woman doesn't look up to the male characters. Have her always looking down. She's the bigger character. This is bad staging. It's a bad drawing.
Oh, no.
And it pushes the story in the wrong direction.
See, and that was the thing, is I didn't focus on the art in this. I focused on the writing, and that's probably why I'm not as salty as he is.
But
the writing is what it was.
They're a marriage between the two. That is what makes comic books unique, and these two people are needing to be divorced.
No, you're absolutely, looking back at this now, you're absolutely right. Like, What's that face?
There's at least 10 to 15 faces in this book that are like, what happened here? The stuff with the weird kid and the mythological creatures, that's all really, really gorgeous. But whenever Wonder Woman's on the page, it's like, he's just failing on art. And I don't know what it is. It's so inconsistent from panel to panel. Maybe it's Mick Gray. Maybe it's the inks are doing a disservice to Carrie Nord's artwork, but I know there's a new artist build on issue number 60.
I thought it was 61.
Not anymore. No, it's 60. Damn. It has a new artist, and Carrie Nord has officially said that he's not on the book, that his time is done already with Wonder Woman. So I don't know if I hate this because I like Carrie Nord as an artist, but this just doesn't.
Read this, and they had the same exact reaction as
you. I'm kind of hoping G. Willow looked at it and went, this is not matching what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I could see it going either way for sure, but that's really disappointing, because to me this continues to be such a strong story.
So we'll notice the other part too, is like, you know, with me, normally I will mention art if I like it, which mm-hmm. means that I said nothing about it. It was all about the art. which, like, backtracking, I'm like, shit, that means I didn't like it.
Oh, no. But you only liked half of it too.
Pretty much is probably what it is. Like, well, here's the other thing too. Who did the cover?
Terry Dodson.
I like this.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because Wonder Woman is an Amazon, and she's big, and she's powerful.
Is that going to sound weird? Like, if you can't see pecs behind her chest, like, that's not Wonder Woman.
she should have shoulders. Like,
yeah, she's a big lady.
She's big and sexy. It's not a trade-off. There's both.
Yeah, so
I imagine her always along the same lines as
so,
Jane
like,
Foster
afterthought, too, because now that I think about it, I remember when I read this, and I was like, damn, if this is the inside, fucking great. It wasn't, and it was like a slight disappointment. That's probably why I focused so much on writing.
Yeah. Liam Sharp his version of Wonder Woman. I stick with that. In a world where Liam Sharp and Cliff Chang exist, having drawn the character before, this is a bad representation.
Yeah. Oh my god, could you imagine if Liam Sharp was on this book?
You know what, honestly, give me Cliff Chang again, back from Paper Girls. Put him on Wonder Woman with G. Willow Wilson.
Has he drawn her before?
New 52, the big, he was the lead artist and character designer for the New 52 version of Wonder Woman, and it is spectacular
if you've never read it. Nice, nice. So, yeah, that would be cool too.
It's the first Cliff Chang Wonder Woman stuff that Andy ever read, and guess who her favorite hero is.
It's spectacular.
But yeah.
And I'm so sorry, because I do like the writing, but I got pulled out of issue 59.
No, that's absolutely fair.
That's what we... You're
the art guy. That's why we have you around.
Fair enough.
That's
so you can
why
bring
we,
us down to earth.
Cool. I mean, yeah, because me and... Like I said, usually I split you two, but the fact that I didn't mention the art only tells me I didn't like it.
Well, I think that's it for us, right? That's,
yeah.
On that slight somber.
So, hope you guys love the new format. That felt really good. We had a lot to say. So
yeah, exactly. Definitely. So cool. Yeah, stick around. We're going to be releasing some videos here in the
next
little bit.
By the time you've listened to this, hopefully you've listened to some other reviews too.
Seen some other things.
And stick around for another exciting episode of Capes and Skulls West. 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 West.